In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you all know, there are many different types of people in the world. Sometimes we will say things like, these are really my type of people, or, you know, those aren't really my type of people. All kinds of types. There's people like us, Midwestern type of people, maybe country people or rural people, we might say. There's city folk. There's Chicago Cubs people, St. Louis Cardinals people, you know. There's generally people, you know, sports type people. There's people who love to be loud and rowdy, and then people that like to kind of be quiet or read a book or relax or whatever. People with lots of money and things, and then people who don't need much to be happy. All different types of people. And that's the way I want you to think about that word that Paul uses in our epistle today. It's in the Greek, it's typos. It literally is the word where we get our English word type. And Paul says, now these things took place as types of us. And in our English Standard Version, it says examples of us, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But understand, the Greek word there is, they are our type of people. And the people he's talking about there is the Israelites. Now, let me remind, this is kind of how this usually goes with you and I. If you think back to Sunday school when you learned about the Israelites, we tend to think, oh yeah, those guys. The guys who were always grumbling, always complaining, they didn't like the manna, they were hungry, they were thirsty, they were always worshiping other gods, making the golden calf, disobeying God's word, and we tend to think of them as those idiots, okay? Those bad, wicked people who never could do anything right. And now, what Paul is saying to you is, no, I'm sorry, you can't do that. Those are your type of people. They're you, okay? And they were given as examples to you. You're no better than them, okay? And he's saying, so the whole point of our readings today is you better watch out that you don't do the exact same things they did. Because you will be likely to, because they're just like you. Paul, remember, was writing to the Corinthians. They lived in this city of Corinth. And that was a place, too, where a lot of temptation. So to give you just a little example of this, in chapter 5, he comments about one guy in the congregation. So picture like a Christian congregation. There was one guy in the congregation who had been involved with his father's wife, so his stepmother. And some people think he had actually married his stepmother. And Paul says, wait a minute, you can't do this. This is not Christian behavior. And others of them, in another chapter, he talks about we're going to these other temples, going to the prostitutes there. He says, this is not going to work. And so he takes them back to the Israelites and says, look what happened to them. You can't think you're better than them. You're just like them, and if you're not careful, you're going to fall just like they fell. So that's what's going on here. You got to think back. Remember what happens to the Israelites when they come out of Egypt. You would think that they were going to be just, you know, these great people, so thankful that God had brought them out of slavery, and now they're, you know, going to go to the promised land. But instead, time after time after time, they just were really not godly people. And I was looking for a picture for the, you know, that sermon insert in your bulletin. I was looking for a picture that would kind of just, in one little picture, just jog your memory of the Israelites. And when I came across that one that's on there, I thought, this is the perfect one. Because there's Moses, and what's he doing? He's taking those tablets. You remember, he comes down from the mountain. He's got the tablets, and he's just smashing them on a rock. And I think that gives you a good illustration of to remember what those Israelites were like. Moses looks to me kind of like one of you guys on the golf course after you just sliced it into the woods and you take your golf club, you know, jamming on. That's Moses. He comes down, he's, you know, all happy. God gave him the law and everything's great. And he looks and he sees the golden calf. He sees them all, you know, singing and dancing around this calf. And he just is mad. He takes those tablets and just smashes them. And, you know, this is what the Israelites were like. Time and time again, They weren't content. They weren't happy with what God had given them. They disobeyed his laws. They wanted to worship other gods. It was terrible. So let me just, Paul mentions five things. I'm not going to belabor all of them, but I do want to remind you of a few particular times. One of them was right when they came out. If you remember, I mean, they had just come through the Red Sea, you know, and they've seen the walls of water and how they got the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, and they get into the wilderness, and right away they're grumbling and murmuring, saying, I wish we could go back. And you think, how could they say that? How could they be so dense? They want to go back and be slaves in Egypt. But that's exactly what they're saying. You know, if you remember, it's kind of colorful language there. They want to go back and eat the good steaks, you know, in Egypt, the meat that they had in Egypt and the big pots of stew. They want to go back and fill their bellies. And Paul says, beware now, because remember, they're your type of people. And just like they weren't content, you and I find ourselves in the same way, not being content with what God has given us. We do this all the time. We say, oh, I wish, you know, I had that over there. The grass is greener on the other side of the Red Sea, right? And so we do this. We're often very discontent with what God has given us. Even though he's baptized us, he's made us his children, we have Christ's body and blood, forgiveness of our sins, but instead we say, oh, if only I had that, if only I had this. Paul says, beware. The other thing another time he brings up is their idolatry. And this is a little interesting. You have to look at the words. He says, they sat down to eat and drink and then rose up to play. And then in the next phrase, he says, they indulged in sexual immorality. If you have a little understanding of the way ancient worship was, at a lot of these temples they would set up for their idols, there would be temple prostitution there. So there was often sexual immorality that would go with this pagan worship. And so what did they do? They wanted to be like the other people. And so they would often start worshiping these other gods and engaging in that sexual immorality. And Paul says, beware. Right? I already told you, he had the same kind of stuff going on in Corinth with a guy taking his father's wife, his stepmom, and these others going to these other prostitutes. So they had those same things. But we need to be aware, we got the same temptations very much today. It's all around us. I mean, in American culture right now, this is the temptation, sexuality. It's everywhere. We see it in the commercials on TV, the ads on our phones, the movies we watch, the books we read. It's one of the devil's strongest temptations. And Paul says, beware of it. And then the last one I wanted to mention specifically is, Paul says they put Christ to the test and they grumble. And this is where this really hits home for us, is they just didn't trust God. So remember, for them, they were going to the promised land. And they kept having a hard time trusting that God was actually going to get them there. For us, what we, of course, have been promised is our heavenly home. But we have that same temptation to doubt, to not trust, you know, to not believe that Jesus truly is coming back, that God really will keep his word, that everything he's told us in his scriptures is true. And so again, Paul says, these are your type of people, the people that grumble and complain, say, God, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Not content with what he's given. So all these things are types of us that we would learn from them. Okay, because we, like us, at many times will think these temptations are no big deal. They're not going to hurt me. Right? Well, yes, I'm a Christian, but I can live like anybody else and it's not going to bother me. Well, they are a big deal. Okay? Jesus brings up one that you and I all struggle with, the temptation of mammon. And we, all of us do this. We think, well, it doesn't affect me. Okay, I can go and consume all this stuff and have all this stuff and buy all this stuff and it doesn't bother me. I'm a Christian. But Paul and Jesus both are saying, beware, Christians, okay? You're just like them. Those people are just like you. And we need to be on guard. Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. What happens when we love all of our material things too much? They drive us away from God. They drive us away from Christ. They make us, we take God's gifts like baptism, his word, Lord's Supper, and we don't appreciate them. We think they're not that great. Or if we're in love with material things, we're going to find ourselves always grumbling and complaining and coveting because we don't think we have enough. So beware. Of course, Paul mentioned the sexual temptations. In our culture, these are thought of as, the sexual things are thought to liberate everybody if we just give in to all these temptations. But of course, we know better. We know they enslave us. We know that these things destroy relationships, and we don't want to give in to them. And the idolatry. Yes, you and I won't make a golden calf and worship it, but we have our own images that we set up. And those images, whatever they look like, are always images of ourselves. We always are going to be tempted to worship ourselves, just like the Israelites were. And I see this in a lot of Christian churches today. A lot of the big mega church worship is all worshiping God as we think He should be. What it kind of becomes is worshiping our own emotions rather than what God has really said in His Word. So Paul says, look at the Israelites. Remember you learned about them in Sunday school and you thought they really didn't get it. And remember that those people are your type of people. Now, finally then, if we appreciate all of those words of Jesus, then we can come to the great comfort of our readings today. And that is that Paul says, look, with all these temptations you're going to have, none of them is too great for you. None of them is too great for you. No temptation has overtaken you, he says, that is not common to man. We tend to think no one has been tempted like I am. It's just not true. These temptations, think about it this way. Do you think the devil just came up with money and sex like this is a new thing? He's been using it from day one, and he will use it until the last day. These are not new temptations. They've been around. I mean, these are our type of people, right? The Israelites, they dealt with the same temptations we do. So that's Paul's first word. You're not alone in this. But his second word is even greater, that God is faithful. Remember that Jesus, every way you are tempted, if you're tempted by stuff, if you're tempted by lust or whatever, if you're tempted by whatever the temptation is, idolatry, tempted to disobey God's word, whatever temptation you face, Jesus faced. And all of them, he was faithful. And he did not give in to those temptations. And that's why Paul says in every temptation, you have a way of escape. And your way of escape, of course, is Jesus. That's his promise to you. So we, like the Israelites, we will be tempted. And there will be times we feel quite helpless against it. But we're not. We have God's word. We have his promises. We have prayer. We have our baptism. We have the Lord's Supper. We have the church. We have pastors. We have our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have our family. All of it turns us to Jesus, who faced all our temptations and would not give in. He is the one that forgives us when we fall, who lifts us up again so that we can resist those temptations. But the key is we must not take it lightly. We must not take it lightly. We can't buy into everything in the culture and say, this is not going to affect me. It's all good. We must realize, just like the Israelites, we are all the same type of people. Sinners, weak sinners, and at the same time, sinners who have been redeemed by our Savior Jesus Christ, and He is our way of escape. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.